Good morning. We will call the meeting to order. Welcome to the State Government Finance Committee meeting. And I'm glad to see that that we've mixed it up here and that we don't have all the Republicans on one side and all the Democrats on another. It's nice we're going to be working together cooperatively, and I'm glad to see that. Good morning, Representative Murphy.
Good morning.
You'll notice that we did start on time. I'm going to try to start all of our meetings on time. I think that's very important. We've got a very full agenda for this committee, and I'm going to say more about that in a little while. And so we're going to have to remain on task, but as we remain on task, I hope we can have a little fun along the way, too. We have a lot of new members on this committee, which is great, and we don't have any requirements in terms of freshmen having to bring treats. That's not a part of our agenda here, so we'll let you off the hook on that. Some of us, when we came in, freshmen were expected to bring goodies for everyone. We're not going to do that, though, today. Well, we first of all want to go around the room and have everyone introduce themselves, including staff, so we can get to know each other. We don't want any long speeches, but it would be good if each of you would share a little bit about yourself and your background experience. If you want to share why you asked to be on this committee, if in fact you asked, go ahead and do that. If you want to talk a little bit about some of the experience you've had that will be useful to you as we do work in this committee, you can do that. But we'll take a little time going around the table and asking people to introduce themselves. And let me start it off. I'm Representative Maury Lanning from Moorhead up on the west coast of Minnesota. I'm starting my fifth term, but this is my first time on the State Government Finance Committee. And so I'm looking forward to that new experience. Most of us here have never been on this committee before, and only a few of us are coming back from previous membership. I was a college administrator, vice president and dean at Concordia College in Moorhead, served as council member and mayor of the city of Moorhead for many years prior to joining the legislature, and have served on a variety of committees. I try to serve on at least a couple of new committees every term, so you get more of a sense of all of what's going on in state government. So with that, our vice chair.
Mike Benson, from Rochester area. It's actually a piece of Wabasha and Olmsted counties. I'm currently an assistant professor of business at Crossroads College, a small Christian college there. But my experience, hopefully, that I can bring to the table here is I spent 30 years with the U.S. Postal Service, and when I retired in 2004, I was a district manager outside of Philadelphia with 360 post offices and three plants with about 6,500 employees. I had five unions that we negotiated contracts with, and in fact, in 1994, I was a main table negotiator for the city letter carriers contract with 300,000 employees. I'm interested in the committee, and hopefully I can participate in a way that it's worthy. And just a little bit about me personally, of course, I'm married and I have four children. I have four grandchildren. My oldest, as I just explained yesterday, just turned 30. So I didn't think that would make me feel old until it happened, and now I'm feeling older. So.
And we will come back to our committee administrator, Joe Marble.
I'm Joe Marble. I'm from Hopkins. Steve Simon is my state representative, and we worked together a few years on GovOps committee. Just happy to be here. So.
Mark?
Good morning. I'm Mark Shepard from the House of Representatives Research Department.
I'm Steve Simon. My claim to fame is that Joe Marble is my constituent. He doesn't razz me too much when I knock on his door on Boyce in Hopkins. But this is my fourth term in the legislature. This is my second time being on this committee, which I really enjoy. It's a great mix of different aspects of state government, and I'm happy to be here.
My name is Marion Green. I'm a freshman legislator from Minneapolis. I'm excited to be here. I've heard it's a great kind of window into a lot of the operations of state government. My background is in the private sector. I work for St. Jude Medical, and I am a health finance analyst.
My name is King Banyan from St. Cloud. I've been here for 1 week, mm-hmm. so that's my tenure at the state legislature. I appreciate that. I appreciate being here. Got here in as a member of the Landslide Club. There are other member. There's another member over there. I am a professor of economics at St. Cloud State. I have been there for 26 years. I have been an advisor on both monetary and fiscal policy issues to countries in the developing world. So I have some experience. I have not taught public finance in 15 years, but I look forward to bringing some of that experience, if I can remember it, back to this committee, and I look forward to working here.
I'm Dean Erdahl from Acton Township in Meeker County. This is my my fifth term. I was a seventh grade teacher. We kind of cover the gamuts here. Of American history at New London Spicer for 35 years. Cross-country running coach for 29 years. Three state champions. I got to throw that in. And now, in addition to being a legislator, I write books. That's my sideline. I have a few novels out. Another one will be out this spring, and I'll be bringing that around for you. I'm the chair of the Legacy Division, and a lot of the accounts and departments of state government that are under the auspices of this committee also are affected by the legacy funding, or can be. And so that's a natural interest for me to be with this committee.
Thank you, Chairman Lanning. And it's my first experience with state departments this year, too. I'm Mary Murphy. I'm state representative from District 6B. My hometown is Hermantown, but I have five cities in District 6B, starting at Scanlon and going eastward, and I have five precincts in Duluth, and Hermantown and Proctor, and the city of Thompson in Carlton County. It's my 18th term, and last time I chaired the Legacy Committee, and so I'm so happy that Representative Erdahl is here on this committee too, because we did have the Minnesota Zoo, the Science Museum, the Historical Society, Tourism, Explore Minnesota, the Arts Board, Humanities Commission, Public Facilities Authority, Public Broadcasting, Asian Pacific American Councils, Black Minnesotans Council, Chicano, Latin Affairs Council, Indian Affairs Council, and the Amateur Sports Commission as part of our jurisdiction last year, and I, in the last term, and I just didn't feel comfortable giving them up, and so I placed the priority to be on this committee and to continue our work with them, and so if I can be of assistance, let me know.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. My name is Kerry Gauthier, or Gauthier, whichever way you choose to pronounce it is okay. I am from Duluth. My background is 29 years in chemical dependency and mental health. And when I come home to three dogs that just think they own my lap for the weekend. So I was asked to serve on this committee by Leader Thiessen and happily agreed to that. Thank you.
My name is Paul Cummings, and I serve as DFL research for this committee. I previously served as staff on the Property Tax Committee, where Chair Lanning served with distinction as the GOP lead, and so I'm happy to serve this committee and serve the minority members.
Glad to have you with us.
I'm Margaret Martine. I'm the GOP majority researcher for this committee. This is my second time on state government finance. I also cover state government operations and pensions as well. My background is that I was a college teacher. I have a PhD from the University of Michigan and an MA from London School of Economics, and I taught at Carleton College, Augsburg, and St. Thomas University.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Keith Downey, I'm a second-term member from District 41A, which is most of Edina. Second time on this committee as well. Really enjoyed the good bipartisan spirit that we had in the last committee, and Chair Kahn isn't here, but I'd like to thank her for that experience last year, and really looking forward to serving with you, Chair Lanning. I think you got a great agenda and approach to the committee. Personally, my own background is in business and maybe relevant to this committee. I spent quite a few years consulting to state and local government, so this is a real good fit for me and my personal interests and experience, so really looking forward to it.
Thanks, Chair Lanning. Now, this is my ninth term. I'm Representative Bruce Anderson from Wright County, just west of the Twin Cities. I've been on state government finance my first two terms. I think Chair Kahn was there at that time, too. She's been around for many, many moons. And maybe even Chair Rukavina, I'm not sure. But one of those two, I'm for sure. Chairman Kahn was in charge of that. My background is ag business, born and raised on a dairy farm in Anoka County, and got out of the military, served 4 years in the U.S. Navy during Vietnam, got out and went into ag business, serving a local co-op in Buffalo, Minnesota, and then went back in the military and served 20 years with the Air National Guard, and then left there with a 20-year retirement, but decided not to hang it up and went into the Air Force Reserve for six more years. But then they made me retire. They say something about age. I'd say it's age discrimination, but they don't care. I've got 30 years of retirement, 30 years of military experience behind me, and just a little bit about myself. I was married for 33 years to my first wife, who passed away with cancer in 2006, and in 2009 remarried and happily remarried, and I have five children. One is serving in the Air Force, and she is in. Just got back from Qatar in Southwest Asia, and is back in Ramstein, Germany right now. And I have twin girls. One has cerebral palsy, is in a wheelchair in a group home, and the other twin is a missionary to Okinawa, Japan. And I have another daughter that is works for Crown College in St. Bonifacius, and a son who's a CPA in St. Louis Park. And then I gained three extra children in my new marriage, so I've picked up three new grandchildren, and I have one grandchild from my son. So look forward to being on this committee, and hopefully things will all work out in May.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Rich Murray. I'm from 27A. This is my first term. I live in Albert Lea. My district covers Freeborn County and nine precincts in Maurer County. I, too, was grew up on a dairy farm and served in the U.S. Army military-wise. So my background, I have an undergraduate degree from Mankato State in accounting, double major with business finance. I also have a master's degree in business from St. Thomas. I work as a financial advisor in Albert Lea, and what I think I can bring to this committee is I've worked in pensions, 401ks, and group benefits for the past 25 years, and also I'm a small business owner. I have 10 employees that work for me. My family, I have been married just shy of 35 years to my wife, Sandy. We have four adult children, And to that, we've been blessed with 10 grandchildren, the last of which was born last Thursday, and they're all girls. So,
oh my gosh.
American girl is very happy at our house. So, so glad to be here. Thank you.
I'm Carolyn McElfatrick. I am serving my first term this time. I represent District 3B, which is a portion of Itasca County and all of Aiken County. I am, by profession, a registered nurse, having served most recently in clinical drug trials in cancer prevention under the National Institutes of Health. On the personal side, I am married for 43 years, and I can't top that at all. two adult children and six grandchildren, three of each. I look forward to serving on this committee for the broad overview and what's happening in the state and how we manage our money. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Kathy Lohmer. I represent District 56A, which is the northern part of Woodbury, southern part of Stillwater, and 10 communities surrounding that. I live in Lake Elmo with my husband, who I've been married to for 31 years. We have four sons. Two of them are married and a grandson, so I guess we're just doing the boy thing in our our world. But I'm really looking forward to serving and learning on this committee. I'm a freshman, and I'm really excited to be here, so thank you.
My name is Kirk Gensrud, and I'm a freshman. I come from a background in healthcare sales for about 15 years, and then the last 9 years I have a small cleaning company. So I come from a small business perspective. And I'm just looking forward to see all of the different aspects of state government in this committee, and that's why I chose to be on this one. So I'm glad to be here.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Ernie Leidiger, new representative from 34A, which is Western Carver County, Waconia, Watertown, those cities. I'm retired Navy after 23 years, then went into business. I've had several companies. I'm married, and I have three children, and I'm very happy to be here. Thank you.
I'm Bob Gunther. This is my ninth term. It's hard to believe that, isn't it, Phyllis? You were here when I started.
Yeah, I was giving everything.
I wasn't going to say that. I've been married for 45 years, have one daughter, lives in New York City, and loves it. Can't imagine that. But I'm looking forward to being in this committee. The thing that's kind of exciting to me is to see all the diversity we have in this committee. There's a lot of things in here. And I'm looking forward to serving with all of you.
I'm Phyllis Kahn. My district is in Minneapolis, mainly around the University of Minnesota, but it also has the largest Somali community in the country, I guess. And I have a lot of degrees from a lot of universities. I was I was a research faculty person at the U before I was elected. I've essentially been on this committee or the its predecessors since 1973, and so I've seen a lot of changes. I've seen a lot of changes in it. I've been married for a lot of years, and I have two kids who live on opposite ends of the continent, and I was born in New York City, so Brooklyn precisely. And I have, let's see, six grandchildren, only one of which is a boy, but the four who live in Canada are all fluent in French, so.
Representative Kahn didn't mention that she's also the lead, minority lead on the committee, and was chair of this committee in recent years. And I should also share that she first ran, she was talked into running for this House seat in 1972. I was asked to run for this seat, my seat, in 1972. And I said no, and she said yes. And I said no for 30 years. So.
Mr. Chair and members, I'm Helen Roberts from the House Fiscal Analysis Department, and I staff this committee as well as the Veterans Services Division that is chaired by Representative Anderson.
Great.
Hi, Mr. Chair and members. I'm Jonna O'Neill. I'm the CLA for this committee. And I also went to Concordia, so Representative Lanning is also Chair Lanning to me, or Dean Lanning, sorry. And I'm in Representative Kahn's district. So.
Representative Winkler.
I'm late. my name is Ryan Winkler. I'm in my third term now for the last 4 years, so my entire legislative service has been spent on this committee. You might be surprised to learn, at least in the past, this hasn't had a broad focus at all. It's had an extremely narrow but important focus, and it's actually been one of the committees that's been that I've served on that has been the least partisan, and I think the most cooperative, and able to find the most common ground. I hope that continues. I don't see that it won't. I live in Golden Valley. I'm a lawyer and have worked in business for about the last 6 or 7 years. Married, 3 young kids. And I look forward to getting to know all of you who are new and working with some of you who are new to this committee.
Representative Winkler, my goal is to maintain that tradition in this committee, so look forward to working with all of you. Are there any other staff that are in the audience, staff to this committee? I didn't think so. And we have a very distinguished page here with us today. Arlen Rested, the friendly smiling face that we greet every time we walk in on the House floor. Arlen, say a word about yourself.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Arlen Rested. I was born and raised on my grandfather's homestead up in northwest Minnesota, not too far from Morgan, Topeka, Minnesota, I'm 110. My father farmed the homestead for many years, and when the state was settled, my folks bought a farm down near Audubon. Too many people know what Audubon is, but it's just west of Detroit Lakes, just east of Morgan. Mm-hmm. High school there. I married my high school sweetheart. Married to her for 58 years.
Oh,
I have 4 children, 9 grandchildren, requested to breakfast children. It's always a pleasure to come down here and work at the page. I worked for the utility for 38 years and retired. I needed something to do in the wintertime to get out of the house. And so my wife insisted on it. I found this niche down here and I love it.
Thank you and welcome. We're glad to have you with us here today. One other page. Yes.
I'm Travis Moslick from Shoreview. I paged last year and enjoyed it very much and wanted to come back.
Well, we depend on the pages a great deal to make sure that all of the materials get distributed promptly and around the table, so thank you. you have in your folder two files. One is what we do today at the current meeting, and the other is save. If you leave things in the today, they will be recycled. If you want to keep it, please move it to the save file. And any papers that you leave on the table will be recycled as well. And every once in a while, we can be a little absent-minded, where we leave some things that we didn't want to lose. And we will have staff pay particular attention to that. If it looks like you left something that you didn't intend to leave, we will keep that for you and make sure we get it to you later. With that, we have a number of other things that we want to talk about in terms of housekeeping here, but let us move to the agenda at hand. And we wanted to have our nonpartisan staff give all of you an overview as to what comes under the jurisdiction of the State Government Finance Committee. And we're pleased, first of all, to have Helen Roberts, our fiscal analyst, to give us an overview of our jurisdiction as a committee. And she has a handout that is in your folder, if you want to pull that out. And Ms. Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This is a low-tech presentation, and I intend it to be sort of at the highest level, not get into the details of all the many agencies and councils and other accounts that are in this committee, although certainly if you have questions, interrupt, please feel free to interrupt me. The first page, I've just presented an overview of the all of the accounts that are under the jurisdiction of this committee, and you'll see that it includes the legislature and constitutional offices, many of the large state agencies, sort of the staff agencies, and Representative Murphy's not here, but I'd like to thank her for going through the list from the Legacy Committee, because I realize I accidentally left off the Amateur Sports Commission. That was not intentional, doesn't indicate anything, but they also belong on this list. We have several of the small councils, the gambling oversight agencies, that includes the Gambling Control Board, and then the Racing Commission and the lottery. This committee oversees and funds several of the pension aids, including the para aid that is a result of the MRF transition into para, first-class teacher aid, and then also some funding for the legislature and constitutional offices. That is for members that were elected before 1997, so it may not affect that many members in this committee. And then also the Veterans Services Division is under this committee, and that includes the Military Affairs Department, which is the National Guard, and the Veterans Affairs Department. And you'll note that there are several agencies that I've put in bold, and those are agencies that are new to this committee. And I realize many of the members are new to this committee also, but for those that have served on the committee before, you'll see that there are several new accounts that we haven't dealt with before. And also just to note, if members may have seen an earlier account division that included the zoo, that has now been moved to the Environmental Finance Division.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. Moving on to the second page, just some text. What I wanted to talk about is the fact that this division's appropriations make up a really small percentage of the general fund total. It's approximately 2.4%, and actually that's a bigger percentage than it's been in the past because of these accounts that have been moved in. So it's a small piece of the general fund pie that we tend to focus on. And also to note that the division does not fund all of state operations, all state employees, the entire bureaucracy. That's sometimes a misconception that people have when they look at the title of the committee. However, the agencies that are funded in this division include all of the major staff agencies, Department of Revenue, Minnesota Management and Budget Administration, the Office of Enterprise Technology, and Minnesota Management and Budget. And those agencies provide the basic infrastructure for state agency operations. For example, Department of Revenue collects the tax revenues that fund all of the agency operations. The governor and Minnesota Management and Budget develop and propose agency budgets, and then the legislature appropriates those budgets. Minnesota Management and Budget sets all policy for state agency spending and provides an oversight function. And they're also responsible for running the state's accounting and procurement and payroll systems. And Minnesota Management and Budget also negotiates the labor contracts. That's a function that used to be in a separate department known as the Department of Employee Relations, but has been now moved into the merged department that we refer to as Minnesota Management and Budget. And I should note that you may often hear fiscal analysts and other people say finance or Department of Finance. It's just a hard habit for us to break. It's just, it comes out easier than MMB. But no. When we say finance, we are referring to Minnesota Management and Budget.
Representative Kahn.
Chairman, I'll point out that was a critical position in a conference committee that the House lost.
We go through these presentations, if you have questions, go ahead and seek recognition. Representative Winkler?
Mr. Chair, just a question to Ms. Roberts. I'm curious about the relationship between the Arts Board, Historical Society, Humanities Commission, Science Museum, etc., and then the Legacy Division, which is falls under a different committee's jurisdiction. How does the funding those entities?
Mr. Chair, Representative Winkler, and the Chair can correct me if I misunderstand this, but This committee would be responsible for the general fund direct appropriations that are traditionally made in an omnibus finance bill, and Representative Erdahl's committee has jurisdiction under the dedicated funds, known as the legacy fund. So any funding that would come from the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund would be dealt with in that division.
So, Mr. Chair, Ms. Roberts, so basically we fund the agency and they spend the money.
Mr. Chair, Representative Winkler, I think this committee would be funding the traditional functions of the agency that existed before the legacy funds came into place. But that, again, is subject to whatever the members decide.
Representative Kahn.
Mr. Chairman, Ms. Roberts, well, how is the lineup with the Senate? Have you looked at that? That's been a problem in the past.
Mr. Chair and members, we do line up on all accounts so that there won't be the need to move things around when we come to conference committee.
That's an important point. That could get to be very confusing if they have different jurisdiction from ours.
Just continuing on quickly on this page to note, we also have the Department of Administration, which oversees state contracting and procurement. It acts as a landlord for the state buildings that are in the Capitol complex and also manages lease space for state office buildings. The admin also has several internal service funds that include vehicle leasing and risk management. And then again, we have the Office of Enterprise Technology, which provides technology and telecommunication services to state agencies and also to some local governments. I'm going to present two pie charts and then some additional information that show you different ways that we can look at what constitutes the budget for state government finance. The first pie chart is the general fund budget. And the reason I focus on this first is because traditionally that's where the legislature ends up spending most of its time. When we talk about the budget deficit, we're talking about the deficit in the general fund. When targets are set by the Ways and Means Committee, they're general fund targets, although I will say that there may be targets set for other funds or things may change and be done differently. So I'm always talking about how things were done in the past, but this is generally where we focus most of our time. And one thing to point out is that Department of Revenue makes up almost 30% of the general fund budget in this division. And what's, I think, significant to know about that is that the Department of Revenue's budget has been growing every year as a result of actions by the legislature and approved by the governor to provide more funding for compliance initiatives, which means we give them money to go out and hire more auditors to try to identify uncollected taxes. And that's been a way that we've been, since 2002, I think there have been 7 different initiatives to try to identify new money to help with the budget problem. And you'll hear from the department about how that has significantly changed their operations.
Ms. Roberts, you mentioned to me that what percent roughly of the 29% is compliance related?
I believe it's about two-thirds now. And I know prior to 2002, it was less than half the department was focused on compliance.
So please keep in mind that as we look at the budget levels, two-thirds of that 29% is related to compliance, to bringing the revenue in. That the tax committee and the legislature and governor have authorized and directed over time. Representative Kahn?
Well, Mr. Chairman, what's happened to the few previous members of this committee has always been that the Department of Revenue comes in with a proposed budget with a certain amount that's going to be due to compliance. And always at the end, when we have to finally fix the budget, we just increase their compliance targets. Where they're complaining about it, but they always make it. But I assume under the new leadership, legislative leadership, that will stop, because I guess if people don't believe in taxes, they probably don't believe in compliance either. So that will be, we'll see if that's still left to us as a resource.
Well, as a longtime member of the Tax Committee, I was supportive of the compliance initiative. So, Representative Gunther.
I think she said a little bit wrong. We don't believe in more taxes. It's not that we don't believe in taxes.
What do you think compliance gets you?
We had another member just join us, Representative Lilly. Say a little bit about yourself.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. Leon Lilly, live in North St. Paul, so I'm about 10 miles from here, and I took last one in, so it's kind of a little embarrassing, I guess. No bike ride, but excited to be on the committee.
Welcome. Representative Slawick.
Well, I'm the other half. He's 55A. I'm 55B, early morning. Rough commute in my seventh term, first time on this committee, so it'll be exciting to see how this goes. And I live in Maplewood and represent Maplewood and Oakdale.
Welcome. Thank you. And hopefully you'll have less snow to contend with here in the next few meetings. So, please continue.
Mr. Chair, just a few other things to note. On the general fund budget, you'll also see that the legislature comprises 14% of the general fund budget. That includes the House and the Senate, and also the Legislative Coordinating Commission operations, which includes the Revisor's Office, the Legislative Reference Library, and the Legislative Auditor, as well as numerous other small commissions that you may become familiar with. And then Veterans Affairs now comprises 12%. This is a change for this department because when Veterans Affairs was in this committee before 4 years ago, it did not include the veterans' homes. So that now is the biggest piece of the Veterans Affairs Department. So that changes sort of the look of the accounts in this committee. And then I'm just going to note, if you see Office of Enterprise Technology is at 1% in the general fund budget, and as we go on, you'll see that that really doesn't represent what that department is all about. They have very small general fund budget, but they have a really large internal service fund. So I kind of want people to think about, we concentrate on this piece, but there's a lot more going on in this committee than what you'll tend to see in the tracking spreadsheets. And then on the back page, you'll just see a really high-level, agency-level general fund spreadsheet that shows the current spending in 10-11 and the forecasted spending for 12-13 for the agencies, and then the change from biennium to biennium. And again, this is general fund only at this point. And you'll see the total spending, forecast spending for 12-13 is $912,261,000. At the very bottom of the spreadsheet, that's the net forecast spending. Moving on, the next pie chart is the all funds budget. And again, this is based on the November forecast. And you can see that the picture's changed a little bit. I'm just noticing that for some reason Excel put percentages for some and numbers for others, but you have them down in the chart below. I think strikingly you see that military affairs becomes a much bigger piece of the pie. That's because they have such a large amount of federal funds that flow through that department. Not really something that the legislature is going to impact, but it does impact the way the funding looks. And after this, I have a detailed spreadsheet. I'm not going to go into the detail on this. That shows the all funds picture. By agency, that shows the various funds with the general fund and other funds that provide funding for those agencies. Again, if you have any questions, please feel free to interrupt or contact me later, and I can give you as much detail as you want on any of these agencies. So I'm not going to really read that. So if you could skip to, there's a sheet that just says agency billings and internal service funds. And what this is intended to do is give you some examples of what are known as internal service funds. Those are funds where agencies provide a service to other agencies and bill for those services. They're able to keep the proceeds from that, and the proceeds are statutorily appropriated to them. So these are funds that are a little bit, we don't tend to look at them so much because we don't have to direct appropriate them, but in some cases they provide really the bulk of the funding for some of these agencies. For example, for OET, $189 million in their internal service fund. These funds all provide business plans each year that are reviewed by MMB and are available if anyone really wants to look at them, and they provide quarterly financial statements, so they try to run in a sort of business-like way. And then, again, another fund to look at, which is the State Employees Insurance Fund. That's also under the jurisdiction of this committee. It's administered by Minnesota Management and Budget, and it's the fund that provides health insurance for state employees. So, and then there's some other examples that I just wanted to, not strictly internal service funds, but there are many examples where agencies provide services in one way or another, bill for their services, or are reimbursed. The state auditor is a sort of unique example where we appropriate money directly from the general fund for that agency, but then local governments reimburse the general fund. So a large portion of that agency's costs are really reimbursed. Reimbursements don't go to the auditor, they go to the general fund. So that's sort of a unique example. Another one that committee members that have been on the committee before would be familiar with are the interagency agreements for the governor's office. The governor's government relations staff has in recent years, and this is going back several governors, has been funded through interagency agreements with other state agencies. The Attorney General, for a portion of their services, has partner agency agreements with certain agencies. Administrative hearings is an example where this is an agency where a portion of their operations are funded through assessments to agencies for the services they provide for the administrative law judges. And finally, the Investment Board, the majority of that board's functions are funded through fees that are assessed to the funds that they, and the assets of the funds that the SBI invests. So you'll see a really small general fund appropriation for the SBI that only represents the amount for investing the general fund itself. But there's a whole other piece to that agency that you might want to focus on if you're interested in it. The next page I've titled Sources of Information on Agency Budgets. And as I said, I wasn't attempting to get into the details of agencies today because we have so many and such a variety of things that are covered. But if members have an interest in a particular agency, there are many sources of information out there that I can help you look at. For example, the agency profile pages are already posted on Minnesota Management and Budget's website, and this is what the amount that covers the agencies that are in our budget without the further detail that's going to come for the governor's budget recommendation. So if you're interested in sort of getting into the background information, you can already look at least at the profiles. The cabinet level agencies do have some performance information that is posted on the results website that I have here. I'm working on a detailed tracking sheet that hopefully will be done either this afternoon or tomorrow that really shows you how we track almost down to the budget activity for most agencies, the very spending decisions that you'll be faced with. Now, we don't appropriate at that low of a level, but we do like to provide that information so that members can see all of the functions that are under a various agency. And then also note that when you get these budget books, you're going to see that the information is really still at a summary level, and there are layers of information under that are in the budget system itself that the fiscal analysts can access for you if you have an interest in doing that, and that's true for any division. We have access to that. And then finally, I'm not going to go through this, but I just attached the section of the glossary that our department does called State Government Terms that covers some of the acronyms that you'll come across. And that's my brief overview.
Further questions? Yeah, Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Roberts, I see they've changed the name to MMB, but the website is still at WWW Finance, and I'm just concerned that we go to that website, and all of a sudden we go, oh, wait a minute, this is the wrong website. So.
Mr. Chair, Representative Anderson, I did actually go to that website and copy the link, so I'm
okay.
It does work.
I just want to make sure.
Any other questions? Ms. Roberts, why don't you tell members how they can reach you, where you're located, and so that if they have questions or information that they would need?
80%. Mr. Chair, I'm located on the third floor, as are all the fiscal analysts. We're in the sort of the internal, the offices that go around the internal part of the corridor, so not the internal offices where the caucus staff are, but also not the offices
on
with
the
windows.
On the east side, yeah.
On both sides of the third floor.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm just down the hall, actually, from the chair. My number is 296-4117, and I'm available if anybody, for any information that you would need help with, or if you want to sit down and sort of walk through the budget and try to understand how it's put together.
And maybe you could talk a little bit about how you are involved with bills that get referred to us, and what you do, your role in that, so everybody's aware of that.
Mr. Chair, members, I'm responsible for tracking the fiscal impact of any bills that are either referred to this committee or should be referred to this committee. So I will be looking at bill introductions and bill referrals to this committee to see if bills need a fiscal note to begin with. So you usually won't have to worry about that. I try to identify those in advance, although I may contact you if it looks like the bill's changing. And then I'll look at bills that are in other committees, and I'll keep track of any impact from those bills. Many of them will be laid over for possible consideration for the omnibus bill, but I'll be keeping track of that. And if we pass bills out separately, I'll also keep track of that, because that would count against any target that is set by the Ways and Means Committee.
Okay. And maybe if you could comment on one other item that if you look at yesterday's bill introductions, there were quite a number of bills that were referred directly to government operations, but are bills that will end up being here as well. So maybe could you comment on how that works, how that system works?
I can
or
try.
Should work, or should work?
Part of it, you know, it's up to the majority to determine the bill referrals. But in general, a bill that has both policy and fiscal impact will go to the policy committee first, which is why it would be referred to GovOps, so that committee can do its work and then send it to the finance division to determine the funding that's needed and how to balance that out against other needs. What we don't want to do is send a bill from this committee back to a policy committee, have them change it so that the fiscal impact all of a sudden is not what this committee intended. So that's why I think in general the fiscal committees tend to be the last stop.
Representative Kahn, you wanted to comment on that?
Yes. I hesitate to make any corrections because I'm usually wrong.
Yes, you're right.
But I think LIMIC has been changed to MinGeo.
Thank you. As soon as I saw you looking at it, I was wrong. She's referring in the glossary. I'll update this. The Land Management Information Center was actually, the name of it was changed, and some of the functions were changed slightly. And that is within Department of Administration.
Okay. Any other questions, follow-up questions on anything that we've covered? Representative Hayden, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
We've all done the introductions. Why don't you give us a little introduction about yourself?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you to the committee. Sorry that I'm late. It took me 20 minutes to get out of the neighborhood. There was an accident on 35W. But my name is Representative Jeff Hayden, and I am new to this committee, and I just want to just tell you a little bit about myself. I represent District 61B, which is South Minneapolis. If you're familiar with kind of the Lake Street to Minnehaha Park area in South Central Minneapolis, that's the area that I represent. Just looking forward to learning. This is my second term, and hopefully we'll have a great time. Thanks.
Welcome. So any further follow-up with for Ms. Roberts? Yeah. Representative Slavik.
I probably asked this after committee, but I see that we have a control over a lot of the gambling and the gaming. Do those bills, I'm trying to figure out, do they go to civil law and then come here, or will they come to this committee?
I don't.
Or are we just going to see how that goes when the time comes? Because I think that we might have a lot of those types of bills this session.
Yeah. Any staff have, or Representative Kahn, do you have any?
Well, we have actually often put amendments of our own dealing with gambling into this bill for some period of time. And we've, and if they have any fiscal impact, they will come here. They get taken out at the next level, but that's okay. This may be a less adventurous committee than in the past.
Thank you.
That's my understanding, that we will end up seeing any of those bills at some point. If nothing further there, Mr. Shepherd.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. I'm Mark Shepherd from the House Research Department. I'm up on the sixth floor of this building, and my phone number is 296-5051. So please come on up and see me or call, or I've already worked with some of you by email. So whatever is your preferred method is good for me. I work quite closely, excuse me, I'm getting over a cold, with Ms. Roberts on the committee's work. Generally, as Ms. Roberts indicated, she tracks all of the fiscal decisions and the spreadsheet, and I tend to work on any statutory language that the committee wants to develop to go along with its budget decisions. So that's sort of roughly our division of responsibility, but we work very closely together as you are all listening to budget overviews and making your decisions. If you do have ideas as you're hearing budget presentations for things that would require statutory changes, then I'd be happy to work with you at any time during the process to try to develop those changes in draft form for you. Chair Lanning asked me today to give a brief overview of some of the reports that prior legislatures, specifically in 2010, have asked to be reported back to this committee. And I do have a brief handout, Mr. Chair, if it's all right to distribute that.
Get the pages to...
While the handout is being distributed, I'll just mention that sometimes the legislature requires agencies within its jurisdiction to report back to the legislature on specified topics. And these reports tend to be of two kinds. A lot of the reports are just reporting back information that is readily available to the agency, such as how they spent certain money. So the reports don't require any new work or analysis on the part of the agency. And the second kind of report is when the legislature asks these agencies to do some research or analysis and report the results back to the committee. You shouldn't be getting printed copies of all of the reports that I'm going to talk about today, because the legislature has enacted a law that tells agencies not to print copies of these reports widely and to distribute them widely. The legislature has decided it's more efficient to have the reports filed in the legislative reference library, which then makes them available electronically to everybody. So you're not going to see, you shouldn't see tons of paper, although a number of times when agencies give presentations in a committee, they'll bring copies of the document that they are referring to so that you can follow along in committee. I'm just going to highlight a very few things from the list in the handout that I just distributed. These were all things that the 2010 legislature required to be reported that are relevant to the jurisdiction of this committee. The first one, as Ms. Roberts indicated, the legislature has, for a number of years in a row, required the Revenue Department to do some compliance initiatives, and as part of that, has always asked for a report back. This is the kind of report that isn't analytical in nature, but rather is just stating the facts of how much money was collected. And the next report is due on March 15th of this year. The second one on my list is again a relatively minor report. There was a new law enacted last year dealing with awarding certain state contracts to rehabilitation programs within the state. And the legislature, along with that, asked for a report from the Commissioner of Administration on the value of the contracts that were awarded to these groups. The third one, the Office of Administrative Hearings, as Ms. Roberts indicated, this is an office that bills for the hearings that it conducts on behalf of state agencies. And in 2010, the legislature assigned this office a significant new duty, which is to conduct hearings relating to the Data Practices Act. And so in conjunction with that new duty, the legislature asked for a fiscal report on receipt and expenditure of money by the office from conducting those hearings. I'm going to focus on some that are a bit more substantive now. And I won't go through all of these, but a 2010 law created a collaborative governance council to develop recommendations designed to increase collaboration in government. And on February 1st of each of the next 5 years, the council is required to submit recommendations, including draft recommendations on its work. This year, the legislature also provided an early retirement incentive for state employees and required the Commissioner of Management and Budget to report back by April of this year regarding use of this retirement incentive in the past calendar year. A major study that will not be completed until after adjournment of the regular session this year has to do with our public pension system. The 2010 Omnibus Pension Bill required the major statewide pension funds to jointly conduct a study of defined benefit, defined contribution, and other alternative retirement plans for Minnesota public employees. And the study is to include an analysis of the feasibility, sustainability, financial impacts, and other design considerations. This report is scheduled to be delivered by June 1st of 2011. I'm going to skip over to on page 3, another substantive report, one that this committee dealt with extensively last year, requires the state chief information officer in the Office of Enterprise Technology to report on the feasibility and costs of entering into a lease or lease purchase agreement with private entities to provide a centralized data center for the state for state agencies. This report is due on very soon, January 15th, 2011, and I assume that that will be available shortly. The final one I'm going to comment on is a Commission on Service Innovation. This was a law that Representative Downey was one of the chief authors of last year, and I believe he participated in this commission this summer and fall. It established a Commission on Service Innovation to provide the legislature with a strategic plan to re-engineer delivery of state and local government services. And there was a required report by January 15th of each year, beginning this year. That report, the first report, actually is available, and at the very end of the document that I handed out, I've given you a link to the commission's first report. There's an executive summary and then a lengthier report. With that, Mr. Chair, I will conclude.
I think it's very important for us as a committee to track all of these reports that the legislature has ordered, and many of which started in this committee or came through this committee. And I think it would be helpful if we had a calendar that showed the dates by which all these different reports are due, so we can sort of keep a running tally on that. And for new members of the legislature, one of our tendencies as a legislature is to ask for a lot of studies and reports because we're not quite sure how to fix a problem or address an issue. And that creates a lot of work, and there's a fair amount of cost that goes into that. And so I think it's important for us to evaluate these reports as they're completed. Was this worthwhile? Did it provide us the kind of information that we really needed or not? And that then becomes, it, seems to me instructive as to what kinds of guidelines we ought to have on future reports or studies or whatever that we want to have enacted. And so I'm going to ask that we keep a running track of these and make sure that they're completed in a timely manner, and that we spend whatever time is appropriate reviewing those reports and talking about those reports when they are in fact submitted. Now, the first one we had hoped to have on our agenda this coming Thursday, but in meeting with the co-chair of that commission, he requested that we delay and not do it this Thursday. That's the Service Innovation Commission that Representative Downey carried. And we are going to have a joint meeting with the Senate Committee, our counterpart in the Senate, to have representatives from that commission and the people who have been involved with that presenting to both the Senate Committee and our committee. And we're hoping to do that within the next couple of weeks. And so we had hoped to do that on Thursday, but that's going to end up being delayed a bit at the request of the co-chair of the commission. Questions or comments for Mr. Shepherd or any of this information, Representative Slawik?
Mr. Chair, I'm glad to see that you're bringing attention to the reports. I agree. I think they're really important. Occasionally, you are going to have some testimony. I mean, the other one I think that's really important is that the whole data center idea. I know for some of like human services, there's and many of our state agencies, there's outdated databases, outdated systems, and all of that. And in order to get some of this into the budget and get legislation going, obviously we want to see them sooner or later. Yeah. So if we want to have, should we request to you directly if we'd like to see some testimony?
Yes, please. If there's something in particular you think we need to address, let us know. Let Administrator Marble know, and we will try to get that moving. I think the reports that are available now or shortly, we ought to get to as quickly as possible during this first initial phase of our committee work. Representative Kahn.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to make a pitch for the program tomorrow, the Minnesota, the Horizons, yes, at the Humphrey School. And I know, for example, that the Commission on Service Innovation is going to be presented very briefly in one part of that. But that's something that people, you know, too many people tend to regard it as a day off, but it's really kind of the bit, particularly with so many new members of the legislature, it's a really good first look at state government.
I agree, and I would encourage and hope that all of you will be able to be in attendance tomorrow, and we'll hear something about this Service Innovation Commission then tomorrow, too. So,
Mr. Chairman,
it's the OET data center. That's the one, Representative Slawik, you were referring to.
Right, exactly. Which is a Mr. Chair is looking at the estimated costs of centralized data center.
Yeah.
So I think it's very interesting. I mean, as we know, if we don't get our house in order, it only hurts ourselves.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay. I think we're looking at that joint meeting with the Senate the week of the 24th. Representative Anderson.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Shepherd, on the study of the defined benefit and defined contributions, pointed out to me that the report is not due to us till June 1st of this year. Mr. Chair, I got a feeling we're going to be dealing with pensions prior to that, and I was just wondering if we get some kind of will we have some kind of an update or a previous study of the pension situation before that date?
Representative Anderson, my hope, even though it's not due until then, that we will get a progress report along the way, because as I'll talk about in a little bit, this whole study of pensions is an important issue for this committee to be addressing. So we need to get at least some initial progress report on what's happening and what they're doing with that requirement.
Thank you.
Representative Kahn.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I hate to push all my old campaigns, particularly the unsuccessful ones, onto you, but one of the ones that I specifically have worked on for years and years is to get an expansion of the pension commission. Mm-hmm. And I feel comfortable doing this now as a member of the minority, because I did it as a member of the majority for so long, and it was consistent. The pension commission has 5 members from each house on it, and it literally, I mean, we have the most knowledgeable person in the state on this committee right now, which is Representative Murphy, mm-hmm. who was vice chair last time and chair before. But the problem is when you look at the size of this committee, and you look at the fact that that's a very small number to have any knowledge about pensions, and it's just really, it's amazing the difference of knowledge even between the least knowledgeable members of that commission and the regular members of the House. And so I've pushed for an expansion which included the requirement of at least another minority member of the commission to 7 members for a long, quite a while, and the because you in the usual setup, I think we've certainly last time we only had 1 minority member on it, and that's much too few to be able to deal with the concerns of the minority caucus on that issue. And that was the chief holdout on this was Senator Betzel, who seemed to have stronger control over his membership than Representative Murphy had over her membership. So we were never able to get it past the conference committee of either state. We put it both places, Pension Commission and the State Government Finance Bill. But with Senator Betzel gone, and I know Senator Rosen, who was a member of the Pension Commission, was strongly in favor of it, and that's something that it might be reasonable to look at trying to do early, just in order to get more people looking at that. And just to we always talk about how wonderful compromise is, and the closest we ever got to passing that was 1 year when I'd come in with 7 and the Senate came in with 5, and we settled on 6. Well, that shows the kind of innumeracy of members of the legislature, because when you had 12 members, what it did was it increased the size of the quorum without increasing the size of the pool to get a quorum. So it was more difficult to get a quorum with 6, and so we went back to 5 after that, with the proof that expansion didn't work. But if you take 7, it's you get more members, your pool is bigger, and it's easier to get a quorum. But it was impossible to convince the Senate of that. So, anyway, that's a project for you.
Well, very, very clearly, we agree on one thing, and that is that more legislators need to be involved in understanding the pension issue and the financial implications going forward for the state of Minnesota. all too few of us know what we should know about where we're headed and how we might fix some of these issues. And so what I want us to do in this first phase of our committee work, which runs from today now until the governor's budget is out on February 15th, is to focus on some of the really big picture issues that affect the financial health of the state of Minnesota. And the first one that I want to see us address starting next week is on the issue of pensions. And for new members of the legislature, last year we enacted a number of very important reforms with regard to how we approach the pension issue in Minnesota. We put down some limits on benefit increases, increased contributions from employers and employees, and enacted a number of things that were a good step in the right direction. But we still have a good deal of reform that we need to address. And to just give you a little bit of a feel for it, one of the things that I have talked to all the pension funds about, and as we worked through this last year, was the simple thing about what kinds of assumptions we have with awarding benefits in all of our pension funds. And we are still assuming a rate of return of 8.5%. And in this economy that we're experiencing now in this state and country, that, in my view, is a very unrealistic rate of return. And if we're making decisions based on that kind of rate of return, and we end up with something substantially less than that, as we have been experiencing, we have just compounded our problem in being able to afford the obligations that we have. And so that's an example of what I think legislators need to be more tuned into. We need to broaden the involvement beyond what the Pension Commission does and look at ways in which the Pension Commission could be enhanced, but also ways in which we can get more legislators really tuned into these issues. And so we want to start there and start with that right away next week. And some other big picture issues that we're going to need to be looking at, the whole issue of labor agreements. Representative Lilly and I have been on the subcommittee for labor relations, and I think one of the frustrations that legislators who have been involved in that have had along the way is that having an opportunity to really provide some input and direction in the whole process of how we get to those negotiated agreements. Legislators should not be involved in negotiations. That's we've got professionals who are assigned that responsibility, but legislators need to set some parameters and some goals for what we ought to be achieving in our labor agreements. And so that's another big picture issue that I'm going to want to see us being addressed along the way. Representative Winkler?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, just on the pension issue, I wonder if you know who the current members of the Pension Commission are and how much overlap there is with this committee.
Representative Murphy, can you share with the folks have not been appointed yet for this term. And so we don't know, but in terms of those who were on it before, I know Representative Smith from our caucus. Representative Murphy, can you?
Representative Kahn, myself, Michael Nelson, and Representative Thiessen.
Okay. But those appointments have not yet been made, and hopefully they will be made soon.
The senators, too. Senator Betzel, Senator Lynch, Senator Pappas, Senator Rummel, Senator
Rosen.
Mary Olson.
Representative Downey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and sorry to interrupt, because I think maybe you're going to continue your list of things you want the committee to focus on, but with regard to pensions and the employment agreements, if I could suggest, and maybe this is a bigger bite than you're interested in taking, but my first-term experience on this committee was one where kind of at the very end of our committee work, we received a very large bill, or in the case of the pension and employment, two different bills. And I don't want to say we were asked to rubber stamp them, but clearly this committee and I think the legislature didn't have a broader kind of impact or influence or set of hearings on that. And so if I could suggest that not only do we look at the pensions themselves and the way they're structured, but if we would also take a look at, step back and take a look at the process by which the legislature actually comes up with those bills, I'd welcome the chance for this committee to wrestle with that a little bit. What is the right process for it?
Yeah, that's my intent. Not only to understand what's going on, but to examine the process and how we end up where we end up. some other big picture issues that I think need our attention here in the next few weeks would include the whole issue of technology and the issue that Representative Slawick brought up and how that is all coming together, and also the accounting system, and we have some issues with that we're going to need to talk about as a committee. So if any of you have any suggestions or things that you would like to see us address as a committee, I would welcome that input. Along the way here in the next few weeks, I expect we will start hearing some bills. We've only had a couple of them so far that have been referred to us, and we will be looking to scheduling some hearings too, I'm sure, in the next few weeks. Then the next big time frame, February 15th to March 31st. By the way, in this first frame, now we have 15 meetings between now and the middle of February. And so we've got a lot of ground to cover in those 15 meetings. And then between the February 15th and March 31st, we have 21 meetings. But Mr. Shepherd and Ms. Roberts did some calculating for us that 18 of those would be taken by all of the different agencies and groups that need to come before us. And so that illustrates just how much we have to sort of fit in our schedule going forward. Now, along the way, there will be a Veterans Division report, and I don't know, Representative Anderson, we'll need to talk about if there are some bills that would travel separately that would not be in your division report. We need to talk about that and scheduling those. I understand you've already got a few bills that have been referred to your division, so we'll be looking at that along the way as well. But the division report and the bills coming from the Veterans Division, just want everybody to know I'm not going to replicate the hearings. We're not going to have the same people come and the same presentation. We will make sure that we respect the report from the division, the recommendations from the division, and only deal with those issues that come under the jurisdiction of this committee and expand what needs to be considered as we consider those. There's a little bit about schedule. Any question about that? We've got a few things that we're trying to get lined up for Thursday. We'll get that word out to you hopefully later today, since we had to change our plan, as I mentioned, with that service innovation report. Any questions about schedule? Then, if you would, out of your folder, take out the one-page set of rules and procedures that we put together for our committee. I consider these to be kind of a guide. I'm not... we don't have a lot of hard and fast sets of rules or whatever, but I wanted to just highlight a few things from this. And with regard to attendance, of course, we're all expected to attend all of our meetings. If you can't come, we ask you to let committee administrator know. We're not going to do unexcused absences. If you're not here, we believe you have a legitimate reason for not being here, so we're not going to do that sort of thing. But as I mentioned earlier, I will start all the meetings on time. And I know at 8:15 in the morning is kind of a challenge, particularly for people who are commuting in weather and whatnot. But because of all of what we have to do, I really feel we need to start on time and respect everyone's time the best that we can. And if you have things that you want distributed to the whole committee, to get those the day before to staff so that they can get it in the folders. And the same is true with amendments. And we ask that amendments be submitted in advance. But we also will be flexible that if there's something that comes up during the course of a hearing that really requires an amendment, that we'll be flexible and allow some of that to happen as well. And then the last thing I would please ask you to turn off your cell phones or put them on silent, and also I don't like side conversations that sort of interrupt the business at the hand, especially when we have people testifying before us. So if you need to have a side conversation, I would appreciate it if you would step out or do it in such a way that it's not disruptive to the people who come before us. I'm a firm believer that the people who come before us to testify should be given our full attention, and so we will ask for your help with that. Any questions or comments about any of that, Representative Simon?
Mr. Chair, do you have any idea, once we start hearing bills regularly, what your notice period will be? I assume the permanent House rules will give a 24-hour notice, but I know some chairs like to do it more than that in advance. Do you have a sense yet about how much notice we get?
We would like for that to be by noon the day before, but we already know we have a problem. If Mr. Shepard has to do some work on that, he also has to do the same work for GovOps that meets there at the same time, or they're at 10:15, and so that gets to be a problem. And I'll be flexible about that. But if at all possible, we would like to get that by noon the day before, so that we can do what we need to do to get that prepared for the hearing. Fair enough. Representative Murphy.
Do we get to keep these seats as our permanent seats?
If you want, I'm glad that we're not all the men on one side, all the women on the other, or all the Republicans on one. All I like it to be mixed up, so we can all work together.
I want the seat.
What's that? You want that seat, all right. Well,
just show up on time.
You're entitled to that with your seniority.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Anything else for the good of the order today?
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Slawick.
I just had a question. You know, part of our responsibility as the legislature is oversight, and we had that recent news story about the revenue employee
yes.
that embezzled. Maybe you covered that before I came in, but do you plan on having any hearings or bringing that to us, talking about internal controls or making sure things like that don't happen again?
This committee has done that in the past. I would expect that we would again in the future. I think everyone should have received a letter from our legislative auditor with regard to that issue that is under investigation and in process now. It's an issue that obviously we need to talk about when revenue comes in to meet with us, and also the legislative auditor. So I would hope that these kinds of issues would come in the course of bringing these folks in for whatever other business that they need to discuss with us. So the answer is yes.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just think it's important, obviously. And it seems like we always think everything's under control, and then we all of a sudden have a huge amount of money that's, you know, misplaced.
Well, that was very disturbing.
Embezzled.
That was very disturbing, to say the least.
Yes.
And we need to get some assurances that things are being done to make sure that kind of thing doesn't happen again.
Exactly. Thank you.
Any other business to come before the committee? I hope all of you will attend the conference tomorrow, and we will meet again at 8:15 on Thursday. Meeting adjourned.